This is a tax update special for Sunday, June the 4th, 2006. Welcome to Tax Update, a little special edition we're running to cover an issue that's occurred at the Fresno Service Center. As normal, Tax Update is intended for those who do their own independent research. It is not intended for those who are not capable of doing such research. Please confirm all items raised on this podcast before using them for client purposes. As well, like normal, we're sponsored by Lineberg Information Services on the web at www.lineberg-services.com. Visit them for their email newsletters on tax matters, as well as their information related to other items of interest to tax professionals, which you may find if you subscribe to their services. Again, they're on the web at www.lineberg-services.com. Well, this started off as a notice that was posted back earlier this past week on the California listserv by Jim Counts, which came from basically the issue the IRS has run into involving the Fresno Service Center. Now, the Taxpayer Advocate's Office has apparently discovered this problem, has now picked it up, but the issue had been discussed a bit around a number of discussion groups, so I want to try to pull some of this together. And we'll take a look at where we stand on the IRS's little problem here. Well, the problem is that a number of clients of tax practitioners were receiving notices from the IRS if their extension had been filed with the Fresno Service Center that their extension had been received too late and that, in fact, their extension was being denied. Now, it turns out in many of those cases, the practitioners in question came up and said, but I've got a certified mail receipt that shows it was timely mailed. And initially, some of the confusion seemed to be some practitioners had concluded the IRS had lost track of the fact that April 15th fell on a weekend this year, therefore the 17th was a valid filing date for the extension. But it turns out the problem's a little different than that. And it turns out that this is going to affect 45,000 to 50,000 taxpayers, the IRS estimates. Those taxpayers were ones who had extensions filed via paper. The paper extensions were filed by their tax preparer, and the tax preparer filed the extensions in bulk. What does that mean? Many practitioners take the approach of sending paper extensions in a group in a large envelope, and essentially sending that one envelope via certified or registered mail to the IRS, as opposed to sending individual envelopes for every taxpayer in question. Well, it turns out the IRS ended up mishandling some of these at the Fresno Service Center, and apparently somehow got them stamped with the wrong receive date. Apparently, what appears to have happened was that these packets got set down in front of an employee. The employee pulled out the little stamp for the current date, and after opening the envelope, which had the proper postmark date on it, took the little stamp out and stamped it received, not noting the postmark date for these extensions, and then they went into the system and were processed. Of course, those taxpayers received notices from the IRS that since their extension was shown as having been received, or having been filed, essentially, well after the extended due date, right out after the due date for the return on April 17th, the extension was invalid. Now, it's not a minor problem, because apparently what happened was, as these notices came out, the IRS began to get inundated with taxpayers and the professionals coming to the IRS and telling the IRS not only was it timely filed, but I have certified mail proof of filing. Now, as we've discussed before, the certified mail receipt is prima facie proof of a timely filing of the document. At this point, the IRS now has begun to understand that maybe we have a problem. And in fact, later this week, this initial document was posted by Jim Counts on the California discussion group and basically dealt with the Taxpayer Advocate's Office. Now, the Taxpayer Advocate Office noted during a two-week processing trial in May, the Fresno campus denied 61,818 automatic extension requests. Now, this will impact taxpayers who live in Arizona, Alaska, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Idaho, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, South Dakota, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming who filed a Form 4868 with Fresno. Now, it appears that the IRS now is in the process of trying to figure out exactly which taxpayers were impacted improperly. Obviously, some of those 61,818 were proper denials, but it would appear from the taxpayers' advocates' note that that's well above the norm, and that it would appear a huge proportion of that 61,818 are in fact valid extensions that were caught up in this little problem. Now, the IRS later in the week released a more public document that was posted both on the Arizona Society's discussion group and, it appears from another source, was emailed by the New Mexico Society of CPAs to its members. And that particular document notes, again, a similar problem. In this case, it comes and explains that a human error occurred in affixing the proper date stamps to certain Form 4868 extension request. Most of the impacted forms were transmitted in bulk from paid preparers, the IRS notes. And the IRS estimates that 45 to 50,000 taxpayers may be affected. Now, the IRS, we are told, is reviewing all of the denied extensions to determine which ones were accurately denied. May be kind of interesting to consider how the IRS is going to make that determination. It notes, in cases where the IRS can identify the paid preparer who bulk mailed the extensions which were incorrectly denied, the IRS will notify the practitioner. If the IRS can identify the paid preparer, then the taxpayer receives a letter advising them that their extension is approved, that they may ignore the previous incorrect correspondence. The IRS is estimating its review of denied extensions and mailings will be completed before the end of June. Now, the IRS at this time is suggesting that taxpayers who believe their extension was improperly denied by the Fresno campus need take no action. If the taxpayer received a denial letter and does not receive further correspondence by the end of June, the taxpayer may request a reconsideration of their case by following the instructions in the denial letter. Since the IRS is already reviewing their case, the service asks all taxpayers who made extension requests to Fresno to wait until the end of June before taking any action. Now, I should note, that is the IRS's current statement on what to do. Now, let's talk about it from a practitioner's standpoint. We have two problems. Problem one, if your extensions were one of the bulk emailed set that came up under this little problem, you're going to have a lot of clients, probably already have had a lot of clients contacting you, complaining that the IRS tells them that you fouled up and didn't get their extension filed, that they've been denied their extension. That's going to create a major PR issue. If you've seen these statements, you probably should contact clients who may have been impacted and let them know about the situation at the IRS. You probably want to get copies of these two documents and go ahead and forward them on to the IRS. Forward them on, not to the IRS, but to your client so they can see the IRS is processing it. The number two problem you've got is you still need to defend your client's interests. Note, we are now going to be relying on an IRS that caused the problem in the first place to somehow properly discover the ones who were improperly denied and fix those. I would say, despite the IRS's assurances, you need to take a look at your rights and your obligations to your client and take a look and make sure that by waiting to act on this, you're not going to run into a position where after you wait and the end of June comes, that you're going to be in either a time bind to respond where you're going to need to get a protest to the IRS very, very rapidly and wouldn't be able to do so for all the clients in question, or that you find that, in fact, if the IRS were to decide that your client somehow was not in this group and there was some other issue, that you're just out of luck because this only applied to those who were in this problem as the IRS determined it. I would suggest that, unfortunately, if you're in this position, you need to start preparations, at least, for actually responding to the IRS on the taxpayer's basis, on the assumption that the IRS may not get it right when they try to figure out if your clients were in there. Next point. Clearly important. Hopefully you had a certified mail receipt to prove the filing of the extension. If you do, then the onus shifts to the IRS to prove it was not timely filed, that they didn't receive a document. Given the admitted fiasco in Fresno this year, what is normally a virtually impossible task for the IRS to show they didn't receive it has probably now become an impossible task for the IRS to show, since it appears they have fouled up the link between the documents and the envelope, or at least that seems very likely. And certainly it appears likely that the IRS is going to have some credibility in court if you have a certified mail receipt and show the document went in, that the IRS will appear to have more than a little bit of trouble convincing a court that they really never received that document. Now, of course, your certified mail receipt does need to be for the document in question, does need to show a timely filing, and does need to have a postmark applied by the postal employee. But if you've met all those requirements or have met them by using a third-party service, you should basically be sure to get that information ready to go. If you did not file using certified mail or one of the approved third parties, you're in a bit more of a sticky situation. If you happen to be in the Ninth Circuit, you can at least have an argument that maybe the Ninth Circuit would expand their view of the mailbox view in this case in light of this issue to allow you to be deemed filed. If you're not in a circuit that has allowed anything but the certified mail receipt, then you're basically going to be at the mercy of the IRS if they don't come back and admit that they were the ones that fouled up your client's filing, and they decide to try to push the issue regardless of whatever other evidence you might have. If nothing else, this is a very good reason to make sure you have some form of positive proof of filing for items like extensions you file on behalf of the taxpayers. In this case, having that proof may make a huge difference in how easily you're going to get through this situation. Note, electronic filers who filed their extensions electronically, as we filed most of ours, are not impacted by this particular issue. Now, I want to say before you feel too smug about that, realize this is an IRS foul-up, that they fouled up basically something, a procedure they should have gotten right. There is nothing to guarantee us they can't have a computer glitch that will cause a similar foul-up for e-file. So even if you're e-filing, make sure you maintain the record of the electronic postmark that you receive when you got verification that the electronic extension had been filed and accepted. Presume the IRS will lose track of these documents. Presume the computer will somehow lose track of the extension, and make sure you maintain the backup. So, as I've said, we've had recent developments. We've had a response from the IRS that has been posted to two state society, or at least from two state society sources. The one in Arizona was posted to the discussion group, but it came from Lisa Novak at the IRS office in Phoenix, and the wording given is word for word identical with the release the New Mexico Society put out, so it seems very plausible that this has become the official IRS release on this matter. Again, this has been a special edition of Tax Update for Sunday, June the 4th, 2006.